Welcome to the Multiverse of Marketing!
And this week, we are looking at the first of the new season. A season of crossovers, crossing, and some of those are collisions at best.
It's very much like, sometimes it's just like a couple of characters like bumping into each other, and other times it's a 12-car pileup. And
sometimes a 12-issue pileup.
Yeah.
I am Crash and Burn, and with me as always is J.R. Sweeney.
What up? I try to mix it up in the way I do that. Anyway.
We throw it out a lot there. But so crossovers. We know, like previously we had looked at products and comics trying to you know, do a little mutual push. I'll scratch your back, you scratch mine. But what about when comics synergy. And comics or comics and is synergy? What happens when comics and other comics and other brands that typically have had a history in comics crossover? Yes, it's the dreaded amalgam event. No, we'll get to that eventually, and it'll be a fight, I'm sure, because as you said, you enjoyed that.
It was something different, you know. I'm not gonna sit here and say that DC versus Marvel versus DC amalgam and DC Marvel All Access were necessarily the height of the art form. But I mean, when it came to like seeing what two characters, or even three or four sometimes, because you had Doctor Strange Fate, who was a combination of Doctor Strange, Doctor Fate, and Professor X, you know, what characters they mashed together. And, you know, some of them were fun. I mean, I'm sorry, Lobo the Duck? Yeah. Fuck yeah, let's go.
Some of it was very inspired.
Yeah.
Some of it was very less so. But we will get to that. That is the juicy prize at the end of the season. This, however, is episode one. And today we are going to start with what feels like baby's first crossover potentially, but then quickly becomes a highway to hell paved with good intentions.
Were they good intentions? I'm not sure about that.
I'm sure it was good intentions towards some sort of profit margin.
Well, yeah. But first, let's talk about HelloFresh. we're not sponsored. I'm just I'm a fan of the product, and I want them to have some walking around money, as Akewood once said. No, I just interrupt every conversation about and do that now. Just like, that's really interesting. I'm sorry to hear that your grandmother's dying. Say, have you heard about HelloFresh? No. Anyway.
And I bet people are so programmed by podcasts and YouTube at this point that some will actually stand there and wait for you to present the product and be like, you know, for me, someone who is always on the go, such as at the moment, it's so convenient to have these flavor meal packs so available, so crunchy, so fresh. Expensive. I live in a part of Nova Scotia where they don't deliver, so... Oh.
I think they're they're overpriced and overrated. I don't know. Anyway, but yeah. So we're talking about Archie Meets Kiss, and real quick, let me say. So this is written by Alex Segura, and drawn by Dan Parent. I think I have that right. I keep worrying that I'm going to transpose them like I always do with the creators of South Park. It's always like Trey Stone and Matt Parker. No, it's Matt. Fuck. Hold on. So, but yeah. And yeah, this is, I don't know what this is. Why?
Yeah, it feels like the most obvious contractual obligation or a business idea. It's so obvious that when I heard it was being published I think about 10 years ago or so now, or within the last 10 years, I assumed, oh, it's a redo or a republishing, because naturally, of course, Archie Meets is a classic joke. That's why Archie Meets the Punisher works, because it's like an inevitability of the Laurel and Hardy meet Frankenstein joke.
Right.
Where you take one kind of character who is off in this one kind of very different world of like comedy and, you know, light comedy and teen romances, and it has its own rules. And then you introduce an aspect that is kind of a little chiller than that, a little more risque. And Archie Meets Kiss, or Kiss Meets Archie, feels like something that surely must have occurred in the 70s. And yet it took about 50, 40 maybe-ish years for it to occur. And this could have been an email. This book could have just been, and no disrespect to the creative team, they really made decisions, strove after their own vision for the story, and committed to it. The art in it is typical Archie in a good way. It's really nice to see modernized Archie that still has the same design scheme as classic Archie, so that like no matter when you pick up some Archie, it's fucking Archie. There's no like, who the hell is this character? Why'd they do this weird redesign?
Rob Liefeld starts doing Archie.
I was just gonna say, yeah, there's no pouches and long hair era of Archie, even during the 70s when some of them had really longer-ish hair. But yeah, I assumed that this would be a very simple, easy book to do. I read it once before and I completely forgot about it, if at best, because it's like, okay, this is simple. Archie and friends are in a band called the Archies, or they also spent most of the years between like 1949 and now, usually trying to like get to a concert, get to a show, get to a show at the beach, get to a concert at the show at the beach.
Yeah, and but
it could have been as simple as, we're going to Detroit to go see Kiss.
Yeah, I just, you know. So, well, let me start. let's start with this. Just reading the temperature of the room to begin with, to gauge where we're both coming from here. Do you like Archie Comics?
I love Archie Comics.
Do you like Kiss?
I have an appreciation for Kiss that we'll go into. Yeah.
Okay.
Let's say yes. Yes.
All right. I don't. On either. They're generally, how do I put this? They're generally inoffensive. I don't dislike them. It's not the sort of thing where it's like, no, I don't like Kiss and they'll never get my money. Because, you know, Gene Simmons, like, I don't know, drove drunk and killed a family or something, or whatever. It's just like, I don't care. If that's what people like, that's fine. Yeah. But neither is for me. In the case of Archie, it's because, like, Archie feels like it's something that I read as a kid occasionally. Mm-hmm. I would pick up the Double Digests occasionally and stuff like that. And once I got to about 8, that was the end of reading Archie, with the exception of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Adventures.
An excellent comic.
So Archie strikes me as, you're either too young for anything else, or which is fine, don't get me wrong, like what kids gotta buy comics too, it's fine, or it's for older people who are not tech savvy enough to have been part of Comicscape. And you know, that's whatever, like if you are an older person and that sense of Americana appeals to you, that like sanitized, like, you know, there's black people but they've never been racialized, why would anybody even do that, you know, and like stuff like that. But it's also just like so much, and anymore, so much of Archie stuff now is just them being like, we're not like that anymore, we have a gay character, and it's like, cool, you had introduced a gay character in 2010, 11,
I think around there, yeah.
Well done, you acknowledged gay people existed in 2000. Even here's the thing, I'm not going to say representation in the 80s was good, but you haven't even met the level of representation of gay people that there were was in 80s action movies, or, you know, fucking Beverly Hills Cop has more gay representation than Archie. And it's just like, so it's like anytime Archie does something that is like attempting to like worm its way into the zeitgeist, it's like when a dog walks on their back legs and you're just like, look at them, that's weird, isn't it, that's so weird, stop it, that's not for you. I feel like if Archie Comics ever created a character that I thought like looked awesome, it would be like if you're at a show, like if you're at a concert and you see like the coolest person you've ever seen, you're just like, holy shit, that person looks cool as hell. And then like you accidentally have occasion to talk to them at the bar, just like whatever, and it's just like, this is so great, okay, yeah, what are you drinking, I'll buy one for you, and you find out they're straight edge, and it's just like, no, what, and you're just like, well, that's cool, anyway, I gotta go, and they're like, nah, like, you know, no, listen, man, have you heard about, and it's just like, nah, it's fine, and it's just like, I'm gonna go have a drink and try and forget this, and they're like, I don't drink, nothing comes between me and my relationship with God, and you're just like, nope, no, you, no,
no.
And then Kiss is just kind of, it's fine, it's very theatrical, but like, I don't know, like, it's just kind of always been the same sort of, they haven't really changed their whole deal in the entirety of their career, which I guess they've been on their final tour for the last 4 years or something, and it's just like, okay, like you're 70, that's fine. Anyway, so yeah, I honestly don't even really know who this is for, because I feel like anyone who reads Archie comics like religiously probably really thinks that KISS stands for Knights in Satan's Service. And anyone who likes KISS, and ostensibly the creators of this crossover are KISS fans, according to the supplemental material to the series, they're KISS fans, but you'd never know it because they're assholes the entire time.
Oh yeah, yeah. So okay, so concerning Archie, I used to read, pick up and read a ton of those Archie and Friends or whatever digests while traveling as a kid with my parents during the summer. And so, like, every summer we go on a road trip. And so, you know, Archie Digest, now, you know, I collect comics and everything, but it was easier to find Archie Digest in random stores or in pharmacies or in, like, even random antique shops.
Sure. I believe that.
You never know where... Yeah, yeah, exactly. You never know where a pile of Archie Digest, usually at like a dollar each, will pop up. So there's always tons to read. And because of the nature of Archie, there's, you know, it's very rare to come across the same story ever. Like, there are decades and decades of multiple stories that they can swap around in any fashion that they feel like. And so, like, for me, it was always just a constant thing that was kind of like a background radiation to, you know, good summers. Is, you know, like, you get a pile of comics, and most of, you know, not most of them, some of them, sometimes most of them, would be Archie Digest. And so I never had, like, any kind of, like, falling out with it at all.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not, like, a massive fan. Like, I've been reading it the whole time or anything. I, like, once we stopped going on family vacations that involved lots of driving, I wasn't buying Digest anymore. And, like, I didn't know, like, follow along in the continuity to the point where, like, Archie dies, and it's revealed that there's two different continuities and have always been two different Archie continuities, and they eventually, like, crossed over, and he died, and he came back to life, or at least maybe it was the other Archie. Anyway, Archie continuity is amazingly fucked, and you can't tell that from just reading Digest, which is one of the best things about it. You pick up one of those books, and it's got like 6 to 12 short stories from across the decades. Like, you could be reading a comic from the 40s, turn the page, and it's the 80s. Turn the page, it's the 70s. Turn the page, it's the 60s. Turn the page, it's the 90s, or at least the early 90s, and their attempt to do, like, grunge rock or whatever.
And yet the politics always remains the same.
Exactly. Well, no, that's the funny thing. It's like, the characters always remain the same. The situations always remain the same. So they're, like, good character archetypes to learn how to come up with, like, scenarios with. And like, when it comes to something like the TV show Riverdale, which got massively derided for being a complete mess, I think it's perfect working as an episode by episode absolute fucking train wreck. Because that's what happens when you try to make something larger out of what is fundamentally shorter stories. And that's, I think, why I came into this comic. I will get to Kiss in a moment, but that's why I think I came into this comic expecting it to be, like, a single issue. They meet Kiss. Something goes wrong. They help Kiss, or they save Kiss. Yay. Not this 4-issue, overly long, goddamn epic of magic and nonsense and multiverse. And it's just, no, Archie stories are supposed to be 10 pages maximum, in which like, they need to get money to go to Pops. And so he manages to, like, get to bet Reggie that he can leap over Veronica's dad's pool and not fall in. And I don't know, like, Reggie slips on some water and gets all wet, and then he gets the money and they go drink malts at Pops. That's an Archie story. Yes, it's overly simplistic. Yes, it is reaching out to a golden age of Americana that does not exist. Yes, it has a lot of issues when it comes to progressivism, but it's kind of like a blank slate. You can do anything with Archie, and that's the joy of, like, Archie meets Punisher, is you can do anything with it. You can have him run up against the absolute most murderous thing Marvel is capable of. You know, there's a lot of potential there, and so I went into this hoping for potential, the same way that like Riverdale showed potential by turning it into Twin Peaks for a season and then going completely off the rails in different ways. Potential. As for Kiss, one of my cousins growing up, he was a little older than me. He was really into Kiss, and so like when I was young, it seemed like a rebellious thing. I know. But it was also the 90s, so like Psycho Circus came out, and that included the push of Psycho Circus. So there was like all the comics, all the toys, all the video games, all the video game appearances, and the reintroduction of characters that we will get to know here. So for anyone who has never seen Kiss before, they look very interesting. They have different characters that they inhabit, and there's vague ideas about how detailed the characters are. They've been in comics for a long time, but like there was cartoon crossovers with like Scooby-Doo or whatever the hell decades ago, where it's essentially the band meets Scooby-Doo. They have since, however, change the idea of what the characters are that they're playing based around, I assume, like the comic book writers that they got to work with in the 90s. And so now they are firmly the demon, I believe the lover, the star child, and a kitty cat.
Yeah. Well, and that's the four originals, though, because yeah. There's Vinnie Vincent, who was the Ankh.
We don't talk about him.
And then there was their other drummer who was the Fox. Apparently all of their drummers are furries. but yeah. And it is like you look at stuff like this, given how little in the last few decades guys like Ace Frehley and Peter Criss have actually been a part of Kiss, it's really odd that you see all of this stuff and they are always the ones depicted, even when they're mm-hmm. not members of the band.
It's the canon group. Yeah. That's what the basic group is. That's what anytime they appear in comic books, animation, that's who the group are. When they did their individual albums where you have their four faces, those are the four faces. Like, that's who Kiss are.
Right.
And apologies to everyone else, but fucking sucks to be you. Put the cat face on.
I will say, if I were Vinnie Vincent or somebody, I'd be pissed. Like, you know, like everybody's just so horny for the older members, and it's just like they're gone. I'm here now. Look at my cool arm. Like,
check it. But yeah, like so Kiss has always been there in a not like a great way, but like a benign to positive way. Like, I really like the overly cheesy God Gave Rock and Roll that appeared in the credits of Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey.
Yeah.
Which is from Alive 3. I have that album. It's the only Kiss album I have. Why do I have that album? For that cheesy fucking song. Nah. I had for years a Todd McFarlane do you even call it an action figure? No, statuette of Gene Simmons.
Old McFarlane was just god awful in that regard.
Oh, just all over it, right?
Anyway,
I'm pretty sure I had a Kiss video game on Dreamcast. You know, like this is something that has remained kind of present in my years and years and years ago when it used to be just stream like. On repeat on A&E, you know, I would watch the Gene Simmons show where it's his family, you know, they're trying to do the
Osbournes.
They're trying to do the Osbourne thing, and like his son was super charming. Anyway, It's a constant background radiation that I am aware of. Its shortcomings as a business deal of Gene just trying to suck every single dollar he can out of this concept they came up with in the late 60s.
Which that's
and the
fine.
Success
you know,
of it,
that's fine. Especially anymore, as little as artists get from music labels, from streaming, from just everything. Do what you gotta diversify, get the money. I don't blame you for that. I do not blame any artist that saturates the fucking market, because that's how you have to make money now. I get it. I'm just saying, like, as far as Kiss goes, I'm not like, woo, like I could maybe name a few of their songs.
I saw, like, this is the most random Kiss trivia, I guess. I saw Paul Stanley live perform Phantom of the Opera in Toronto in the 90s. Yeah. It's a weird one.
That's as good a place to leave office. No, I'm joking.
Right? No, it's definitely a good segue. So that's my experience with Kiss. So when you look, you know, knowing Kiss, knowing Gene Simmons, and knowing Archie's flexibility, as I said, this seemed like the most obvious team up. Like it's almost a cliche. It's the Twinkie. You don't actually do the Twinkie. The Twinkie is a joke. Archie meets Kiss is a joke that is so obvious. You assume it's been told and told seriously long, long ago. And then we actually get it. And it's a disappointment on such an incredible level. And it's not for lack of trying, because they went 4 issues deep into this. They built a story without any character arcs.
Yeah,
or
no,
plot.
There is no character arc. No one grows or changes. No one, like, the basic story is these monsters from a different reality come to Riverdale because of a spell that Sabrina casts and Veronica fucks up.
Thanks a lot, Veronica, and Ronnie just going along with it. Oh yeah, let's learn dark magic. Hey babe.
Yeah.
fucking Ronnie.
Yeah, Veronica and Reggie fuck it up. Kiss follows the monsters. And then the monsters have an amulet that sucks the fun out. And lest you think that this is not for that this book is not written for geriatrics. we visit a reality that they've already sucked the fun out of. And the thing is, the first step of it is the sucking the fun out of the area turns the people into mindless zombies. We visit a reality where they've already done this, and everybody, get this, everybody is addicted to their phones, their tablets, their laptops. And it's just like, wow, that's cool. You know, I bet if we spend any more time here, we'd find out that things in this universe cost more than they used to, and that grandchildren never call.
Yeah, it's a very no character represents anything, but you do run into those things where it's like, It's the Wayans brothers going message, and it's I get it. There's such odd choices, and like, you know, okay, that's a semi I guess maybe clever ish concept, and I don't fundamentally have a problem with the story of this, but because there can be no character growth in Archie, because it's Archie, you know, like these are archetypes, not characters. You need to have simple situations that are easily solved based on what they already are like. And again, this could have been condensed into one issue and probably have worked. Like the crazier aspects of it that come out of kind of nowhere, the no logic that it has, the motivations that the bad guys have, you don't get the time to think about how mindlessly stupid it is. This is something that needed to be one and done so that it happens before you know about it, and most importantly, before you can think about it.
Right. But
not get drawn out.
But you have all this stuff, you know, the groovy ghoulies show up in the not so groovy ghoulies, I guess, show up in Riverdale. And it's just like, new place to fuck up. And then Kiss shows up. And like I said, they're assholes. They're just assholes mm-hmm. in every direction. I was surprised to find out that the creators of this comic were Kiss fans. Because, like, I thought this was a situation where, like, the writer tried to get an autograph one time and Gene Simmons spit on him. Or something, yeah. And this was his revenge, because they are just dicks for no reason to everyone. And then eventually they play a song together. But the ghoulies show up, and I'm just calling them that because I have nothing other to call them.
That, you know, groovy ghoulies really does feel like the most archy thing. And like,
well, it was a spinoff of Sabrina.
They say it like it's a slur, so...
Groovy Ghoulies was a spinoff of Sabrina. So...
That makes sense.
It's apt to the situation, I guess. But...
The
thing about it is, like, Kiss shows up, and then they just kind of run around for four issues, and then they play a song, and they break the amulet. And it's... And honestly... If it had been 10 pages, that would have been enough story.
Yeah, no, but... exactly. It's just a quick little, you know, like before you can question the logic of how even their conclusion of a concert together playing Kiss music of all things can shatter an evil magic amulet. You know, you have your basic Scooby-Doo chase sequence. You don't want to turn that into multiple issues. You have them go zoop, 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 zoop between a few doors. There's a little bit of pop music. There's a couple of scare jump jokes. And then we move to the part where we discover who is actually, you know, like dressing up as the evil swamp scarecrow.
Right. Old Man Withers, like, you know.
Gasp!
Yeah.
But like there is supposed to be a template to this. There's a way to do a super short one page or even one panel, Archie. There's a way to do 3 pages. There's a way to do 10 to 15 pages. But if you have to hit on anything more than like a single issue, you have to go into Riverdale land, and Riverdale land means that you write the next issue completely ignorant of anything that occurred in the previous issue. And all we got is constant referral back to what just happened. Continue on with the fact that nothing is happening and moving towards an end that is not planned and merely occurs at the end of the book where you expect it to.
Yeah, it's literally just a whole bunch of running around, and then, oh, there's a carnival that the monsters are putting on. Let's crash it and play a song. They play the song, the spell is broken, they break the amulet, the monsters turn back into kids. And by the way, the monsters... So, this is the least... I don't know if they even really explain what these monsters' issue is.
There's nothing to them. There's no motivation. There's no history of really, you know, like the amulet, how they got it, what they've been doing, why they've been wrecking shit.
Yeah.
Nor like, you know, one's a Frankenstein, one's a vampire, one, et cetera, et cetera. None of that is reflected in their character.
Well, so here's the thing. So here's the thing. So first of all, the only explanation we get is the amulet was meant to be a force for good, and they used it for bad stuff. But the monsters themselves, you've got a Frankenstein who wears glasses, a blazer, and shorts. And it's just like, nah, fuck you. You have Twilight-style vampire at a time when everyone was doing the parody of Twilight. So just like, it, as much as it's a cliche now, it would have been 40 times worse then when everybody was doing, oh, Edward Cullen is kind of whiny and shitty. Like,
yeah,
way to go, guys. A greaser werewolf, which, okay, and a ditzy mummy. And yeah. So it's like, you have these four who are our antagonists. The only thing they have going for them is this amulet. If not for that, they would be about as big a threat as a 6 month old with a mild cough.
They are so uninteresting, ineffective, and just not there. They might as well be four employees of Carl's Jr. who has decided to pick a fight with the Riverdale gang for no reason. There's ways of making this work. Why are they not all vampires here to suck the fun out of everything and put it into the amulet?
Right.
There's easy ways to do this. Is writing an Archie comic. Also, it's not going to be hard.
Also, the fact that they are so pathetic,
yeah,
makes the fact that Kiss is like, they are kind of akin to what Kiss is in most things, where it's like, ooh, they're supernatural and they've got rock powers, and oh yeah, Gene Simmons is a demon who breathes fire, and it's just kind of like, breathe fire at them. Breathe fire at... I don't see anything. One of them is wrapped in cloth. You could probably take her out. No problem.
Yeah, this should be very straightforward. Like, I can never remember who's the cat. So I always call him, Peter Criss. The cat man. Peter Criss, why do you not have claws? And why are you not like... Honestly, I want to see him just like... go full Wolverine and tear someone apart. I want the Star Child to do absolutely nothing until he reveals like fucking original, like Captain Marvel levels of like power and cosmic awareness and constant dialogue that fills entire pages with nonsense.
Yeah.
It's just, oh my God, he won't shut the fuck up about cosmic awareness.
And then
Paul Stanley, the lover, he makes you feel uncomfortable.
I mean honestly, septuagenarians in grease paint always make me feel uncomfortable. So I don't know why that is a so Paul Stanley is the Star Child.
Oh, I'm sure that, they have different names or whatever, and it's just, it's so stupid.
Okay, sorry. So there's Eric Singer, who's the Catman as well.
Yeah.
They have straight up just been like, he's the guy now. I guess Ace Frehley is the space ace.
Whatever.
So that's kind of redundant. You have the Star Child. You've got space covered. You've got space. You've got hell. You've got a kitty.
Yeah.
you need something else, you know?
See, that's why I always thought like Paul Stanley was playing like some really uncomfortably erotic thing where it's just like, yes, by the powers of hell, the animal kingdom and the cosmic, you know, everything, I'm gonna fuck you.
I mean, at least if you had Vinnie Vincent there, at least like with the Yonk thing, you could kind of get like some like mystical stuff going on, because you've got the demon and he's like infernal. Okay. But with the Ankh warrior or whatever Vinnie Vincent was supposed to be, you'd at least have like a different, you know, it's like your ideal Avengers team. There shouldn't be any overlap here. You need to have different spheres of influence. You need a Tony Stark and a magic user and, you know, stuff like that. But having two people whose thing is space is just unnecessary.
And that is
sort your shit out, Kiss.
That's the true spirit of Kiss, of like, and almost why this book kind of does work as a Kiss property, not so much an Archie property, but a Kiss property, because when it is focused with, say, the demon or a cat, it's very on. You were everyone who has ever seen the cat, again, I'm incapable of remembering the cat's actual name.
Peter Chris, or Eric, whatever.
Yeah. Whoever.
You can give the Ankh warrior and the fox shit, but like, at least they didn't just use somebody else's gimmick.
Yeah, no, it's they tried. They failed, but they tried.
There was an attempt.
But like, anyone who has ever seen Kiss knows that one of their members is dressed like a kitty cat. It doesn't matter if you like it, hate it, understand it, any of that. You just, it's a thing you know. And you also know that a far more interesting member of it, who is up front further, is dressed like a demon, has a long tongue, and breathes fire.
Right.
These are things like children know about Kiss. They're so basic and so tight. Like, it's so direct and so tight. Such good ideas. And then you get wishy-washy, we have two versions of the Star Child kind of idea. Whatever. And that follows through in literally everything. You listen to a Kiss album, some of it tries to be like harder rock, but then you end up with like, you know, straight up disco tunes, like outright fucking disco. And I'm not saying that in a bad way, but it definitely leads to like how confused the message can
be when it is
chasing money.
It is thematic whiplash, because it is. You'll see Kiss and they'll, there was an old thing I saw somewhere where it was like, you know, you'll see Kiss and Gene Simmons will be up there and it's like, we're Kiss and we're going to take you to hell. Singing is fun and singing is great.
It's like reading this whole thing, I just kept remembering and imagining that these are the characters from Psycho Circus, which is a, like, a late 90s, intentionally kind of over-the-line, semi-disturbing, Spawn-esque kind of
comic book. It was very much try-hard.
It was very try-hard.
It was very try-hard. But it was the late 90s. Like, I remember, I was like 17 when that came out, I think. And at the time, you know, at the time, I was how do I put this? A sexually frustrated loser. And I worked with a woman who was significantly older than me, who was way into Kiss. And I was just like, yeah, Kiss, totally. and I tried to get into them around the time Psycho Circus came out, and it was just kind of like, all right, I don't know. That's one of them's a kitty cat. That's yeah, fun.
You're trying ever so hard to be ever so hard, and like it was an attempt. It was a wholehearted attempt, but it just plays even further into the whiplash that is just something that you get used to with Kiss. And this comic is a lot of that whiplash because visually, it's an Archie comic. It's sterile, but thematically, it is attempting, like plot-wise, it is attempting to make commentary on, like, you know, youth culture and using like these septuagenarians to save the day with all like demonic and superpowers. And the storyline is about like supernatural villains crossing over a dimensional barrier to turn us all into zombies. And it's all over the place. And all of this just because fucking Veronica got jealous that Sabrina was getting some attention. Sabrina's never gonna fuck Archie, Ronnie. You don't have to worry about it. It's that bitch Betty. It's always that bitch Betty.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, real fun, quick game. If Archie had been allowed to age properly, what would the politics of each of the characters be at this point?
Okay, so Archie is absolutely a Reagan Republican who is, like, that's what he thinks of himself as, but he's actually a dyed-in-the-wool, like, John Birch Society racist piece of shit.
I think in Archie's case, it depends on whether he winds up with Veronica or Betty. Well, let me rephrase that. Whether he winds up with them initially. Because I think in the case of Veronica, they're divorced. And he has absolutely been radicalized. He's full, I think in that case, he's like full MAGA, full QAnon. Betty, I will say, I think is liberal. I think she is like very, if he winds up with Betty, then I think he's probably like center right, you know, like
I can see that
she's moderated a lot of his views. And so he would wind up like not by no means like a dyed in the wool Democrat, but like at the very least, he would not be insanely like, Betty,
that works.
Betty, like I said, I think Betty on the surface, I think she's a very like straight up liberal in that on the surface, she seems good on certain things like race. Like she's just like, you know, like she's like, yeah, I totally get where Black Lives Matter is coming from. I just, I don't think they should be burning things.
Yeah, no, you know, Hillary, or if Betty voted for Hillary, but then was not too upset when Trump won. Not too upset.
Oh yeah, she's definitely still got the I'm with her shirt and stuff like that, but.
The pussy hat.
Reggie
has been in jail for the last 15 years for various fraud and sex assaults.
I'm gonna say Reggie is full libertarian ANCAP. for sure.
Definitely. And Jughead is trans and into luxury space communism.
Jughead's dead, I think. Jughead, look, here's the thing. I eat like a 6-year-old. I'll admit that. Yeah. My diet is terrible. And even I'm just like, hey, man, Like Cookie Monster says, cheeseburgers are a sometimes food. Okay, you gotta, I get it, they're great, but you gotta eat something else occasionally. So Jughead, I think all things being equal, I absolutely agree, but Jughead's dead by 45.
Jughead's dead by 45, which would probably put around like the early 90s.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Unfortunate, but his memory will carry on in the many clogged arteries of generations to come.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I will.
Pops is a murderer.
I will say, I kind of want to see Archie at January 6th now. Anyway, sorry. That was a tangent, but it was something I was thinking about that I was just like, okay, let's say they were allowed to grow and change. Who would they be now? And that's, I was definitely thinking like Reggie was full land cap.
Mr. Weatherby was arrested in the 90s along with Timothy McVeigh for the Oklahoma.
Oh my God. Bombing. They find a copy of the Turner Diaries in Mr. Weatherby's office, and it's just like, fuck, how did we miss the signs? Yeah. Shit, I don't know.
Yeah, that's kind of how bad this book is, but how good the potential is it's far more interesting to talk about like other what ifs with these characters, other places that you could put things. Like speaking of Psycho Circus sucked ass. It was not a good album, but it spawned a lot of at the time super cool action figures / Todd McFarlane statues. It
that can move like an arm.
Yeah, but they look super cool. It gave rise to a couple of video games that were actually kind of like decently fun. There was one, if I recall, that was more or less a not Doom, but Unreal. It was an Unreal clone. Mm-hmm. But you're having fun listening to like, you know, a far better soundtrack than Psycho Circus, because like, you know, they just put in generic metal over the video game soundtrack, and you're fucking around with these characters that admittedly, with some exceptions, have pretty cool looks. If you want to be like scared just a little shitless, be playing one of the Psycho Circus games late at night, and you see Gene Simmons come around the corner and like he's at full like demon, yeah, you might pee yourself just a little bit. It's okay, Gene won't charge you for it this time.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, like I said, I tried to go into this with an open mind, you know, understand, because like I said, I don't hate Archie. I don't hate Kiss. I legitimately like whatever, you know? So I tried to go into this with an open mind, and fuck, like I was just sitting there I was sitting there going, how many issues? Four? I've read half of one, and already I'm bored out of my fucking skull. Also, like, so I guess I don't really understand the lore as it relates to Sabrina in the context of Archie, because so in the comics Salem can talk. Well, in this he talks to Sabrina. He straight up word bubbles. Okay. That's what I was trying, because he doesn't, I'm like, the Archie and the gang know Sabrina's a witch. So there's no reason why Salem has to hide the fact that he can talk from them. And yet, all he has is word balloons and, like, clawing at them.
I think it's the same with, like, John and Garfield. Because they're familiars, there's a level of communication that comes through.
I see.
But otherwise, it's just a fucking cat.
I see.
You know?
So your yeah. argument is that there is dark magic afoot in the Garfield universe.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. No, that makes sense.
What happened to Lyman? What happened to Lyman?
No, yeah. I mean, obviously, John killed Lyman, but there are plenty of perfectly rational explanations. Not excuses. There are plenty of perfectly rational explanations for that don't require blood sacrifice.
Sure, it doesn't require, but it's a hell of a lot more interesting with.
Sure, that's fine. I'm just trying to make sure we're on the same page with that.
We are most certainly, and I am going to also go as far as to say that in Garfield and Friends, if not the original show, then certainly one of the Halloween specials, magic outright exists, as does dark magic.
I don't know. My favorite Garfield thing is the storyline that lasted like a week, where Garfield's life is a hallucination as he starves to death in an abandoned house.
Yeah, that's some good dark shit.
Yeah, that's the one I like, and apparently so did Jim Davis. So, that's the one. That is the reality I choose to live in. Anyway,
I like the one where John drank dog semen. But
well, yeah, I mean everybody loves the dog semen. You know, if there is one strip that every irony poisoned terminally online person loves, it's the dog cum Garfield strip. we're all over the place tonight.
This is a comic so good and bad it inspires a talk of John Arbuckle gurgling dog cum.
I love that we've gone from he was drinking dog cum to he was straight gargling it. Straight up gargling it. Soon it'll be like John. Just full on just bathing in it, just pouring it all over, letting it run down his throat, and just like, yeah.
Send us your fan art. He's pouring it over himself.
Flashdance style.
Middle panel is transition between, and final panel is Garfield, and he says, "I hate Mondays."
Well, yeah, of course. Can we also talk about the fact that the implication of the dog cum comic is the fact that the vet does not know how babies are made?
Oh, very much. I like to pretend that Liz is only in a relationship with John because she fundamentally doesn't understand what John's actually after at all.
That's fair.
Which is, of course, why John never gets any.
Yeah,
because it's just it's not a concept.
Yeah, well, I mean, she gets that cum is involved, but it's just like he drinks it, and she's like, "Well, you're gonna have puppies now," and it's just like, I question your credentials, Liz.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not a good joke. It's one of those jokes that is funny when you first hear it, and then when you think about it, you're like, but wait, that's not at all how that works.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, gargling away on that dog cum.
Gargling dog cum all day long.
Get get the Archies to come back together to sing that one.
That is one Archie related thing I do like. I had a tape. I had a cassette tape of the Archies as a kid, and I listened to the shit out of it. Not just you know, you had Sugar Sugar, of course.
Obviously, yeah. Of course.
But what is the one? There's Bang Shang-a-Rang.
Oh,
I recall just walking down the there was the Waldo P. Emerson Jones. I listened to that motherfucker all the time. And sometimes even now, I will just be like, I'm gonna listen to Bang Shang-a-Rang. I don't even care. Bubblegum pop as I drive down the street. Hell yeah. Make it happen, yeah. Archie.
I do wish that they had kept the Archies up and that they had gone through a period in the late 60s, early 70s of trying like prog rock and massive amounts of drugs.
If they go full Sergeant Peppers, and it's just like, I don't even know what's going on anymore, man. Reggie ODs in a hotel
room. One album's just Archie going,
do it like Tibetan throat singing or something. Betty and Veronica met with the Dalai Lama today. Oh shit. Like, more Archies, please. I don't care. Yeah, I don't care about the comics. I don't care about Riverdale. I don't, you know, have your random token gay character, whatever. I don't even like Riverdale. How big a town is it? Who knows? 50,000 people, two gay people. But, and they're both dating. Come on.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, hey, listen, as you said, there's only two of them. This solves itself.
Yeah. It gives me the vibe of, what was it on Little Britain? Davith, the only gay man in the town, in the village. And it's just kind of like, all right. Yeah. But yeah, so overall, don't read Archie Meets Kiss unless, I don't know.
Unless you're really into like either Archie or Kiss, or inexplicably Archie and Kiss. And I'm saying this as a fan of Archie and a so-so on Kiss. I know that this is an oddly popular book because there's like a hardcover with every variant cover on it. But you don't do that. Don't buy that.
No, it's
unnecessary.
Yeah, that's the thing that I would caution about this. I can't imagine. If you like Archie, you may like this. I don't know. It just kind of goes on for a really long time.
Way too long.
And I feel like that's probably a big con of this. I can't find a ton of prose other than, like, it's Archie art, you know? It's competent Archie art. You know, everybody's kind of there to some degree. Mr. Weatherby is a zombie randomly, you know. But if you're a Kiss fan, I don't think you're going to find a ton here for you.
I don't think this is going to appeal to the same people who were into the Revenge Tour.
Yeah, not so much. So, yeah, this is a big old wet fart of a comic. It doesn't even have the what value it might have had for like shock value. It doesn't even get that, because it's just like, oh, okay.
Yeah. If this had been like, a 66-page, you know, like a special, quote unquote, where this it takes up like half the book, and then it's reprints of other band-related hijinks that the kids have gone over in the last few years or the last decades and stuff like that. This would have that shock value. It would be quick, sweet, and then right into the reminiscing of other music related nonsense the kids have gotten up to. This just drags it out and makes any concept of nostalgia feel like a death sentence.
Yeah.
So that, yeah, it's a no from me.
It's a big old no for me. Just do literally, I honestly, having as much fun as I've had sitting here talking about it, like, we have so little time on this planet. We have so little time in which to absorb all of the beauty and experience we possibly can. Don't take the time to even if you're really fast, even if you read really quickly, however little time it takes you to read this, still waste it. So, yeah. That is it for us, I guess. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Shitter. It's been a while since we recorded, so I don't even remember all the CTA shit.
I'm struggling too on that one. Check us out on Blue Sky if you can find us.
Actually, I need to set us up on Blue Sky. I've got invites that we can use. Sweet. And email us at multiverseomarketing@gmail.com. Join us next time. I believe we decided we're talking about Superman Madman Superman. Fuck yeah. Whatever.
Oh, so good.
Sometimes
90s comics are a good thing.
Yeah. You know, this one was apt because we're coming up on Halloween. And this involves Kiss and monsters with big air quotes. And this next one is apt for November because I'm thankful that it's not Archie Meets Kiss. And also that it's a good comic, but mostly the former.
Mostly the former. Yeah.
So, bye.
Bye.